Lord, we magnify your name, Lord God. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify your name. Come on, let's just continue to lift up the name of the Lord. God, we thank you for your presence in this place, God. Lord, we thank you for moving, God. We thank you for your presence, God. This morning, I'm reminded of a song that we used to sing in Sunday school, and the majority of us probably remember it. It goes, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." Amen? And it goes, "Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine." And then it sings, then we sing, "Hide it under a bush? No way. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." Amen. Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes." Amen. My God picked me up out of the miry clay. Amen. He cleansed me of all my sins, and he gave me a purpose, and he filled me with his spirit, and I got the light in me, and I'm going to let it shine. Amen. I'm not going to hide it under my tool belt when Monday starts and I go to work. I'm not going to hide it under my work clothes. I'm not going to be ashamed of what God's done for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm sick and tired of opening up the newspaper or reading on some sort of form of social media of somebody that stood for their faith, or somebody that stood for God or the Bible. Christians that stood up for something being criticized and then ultimately turning to apologies. Apologizing for the stance they had. Apologizing for what they said. Amen. I'm apostolic. No apologies. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And this morning, with the help of the Lord, I want to speak on the topic, it's time to stand. It's time to stand. You may be seated. To take a stand or to stand means to stand up for a purpose and to stand firm. I can't speak for anybody else in this place this morning, but I've gotten to the point in my life where I look out at my surroundings and I look at a lot of the things that are happening in the world today, and it disgusts me, quite frankly. I've gotten to that point, and it really makes me sad that that's the reaction that I get. And we live in a world where nobody seems to want to take a stand for anything anymore that's right. It's all about being open-minded, and if you're not open-minded, then you're labeled as ignorant. And if they find out that you're conservative or a Christian, then you must be closed-minded, which means the same, ignorance. You got to open up your mind, just accept every new thing that comes along, just go with the flow. Amen. This behavioral pattern reminds me of a man in the Bible that we know as Simon. The name Simon means a reed. A reed is a soft, fragile, long stalk of grass, and it's always falling here and there or blowing to and fro. A reed has a tendency to blow back and forth, always changing its direction with the wind or with whatever resistance comes its way. And that was Simon. Simon just kind of went on with whatever was going on. If everybody else was fishing, Simon was out fishing. If everyone was cussing, Simon's cussing. Just blowing around. Just going with the flow. And that's the kind of civilization that we are living in today. A world full of Simons. Especially right here in Madison, Wisconsin, we're surrounded by a society of reeds. Just blowing around. Just going with the flow. And one of the saddest things about it is the deception of it all is that everybody thinks that they're standing for something new. When the truth of the matter is, they're not standing for anything. A lot of politicians like to ride the fence on moral issues these days. For example, I'm personally opposed to abortion, but I want the vote, so I'm not going to say anything about it. And so then they just blow with the crowd and blow with the wind. Leaders are afraid to take stances these days in churches. It's crept its way into churches all across the country, this mentality where leaders stand up and they're afraid to take a stance on moral issues, or they're afraid to take a stance on sin issues because they're afraid that they might offend somebody or they might become chastised. And it's all about drawing the biggest crowd, and so they deem it unnecessary or cut things right out of the Bible. Amen. And some are afraid of being rejected to take a stand and speak the truth, while others simply don't even have a clue what truth is anymore. They don't even know what they're preaching. The Pope and is covering up pedophilia among the ranks of priests in the Catholic Church, and churches all across the country have embraced the homosexual lifestyle, performing same-sex marriages and hiring on homosexual ministers. They don't have the truth. They're not under the anointing. They're not operating in the Spirit. They're just reeds. The world blows something new at them, and they blow with the direction of the world. They bend and they sway in the direction that the world is blowing, just going with the flow. It's crept its way into our high schools and down to our middle schools and into our elementary schools, where instead of being taught abstinence, our young people are being taught at an earlier age every year how to use contraceptives and how to have sexual relations. We used to have the Ten Commandments hanging up in our high schools and recite the Pledge of Allegiance, but then the idea of separation of church and state rolls in, and what does everybody do? All the reeds look at each other and they just go with the flow. Let's just go with the flow. Now our educational system attempts to be morally neutral on everything, but Psalms 94:16 says, "Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity?" Church, I'm here this morning to tell you it is time now to stand. Now more than ever, we have to get this into our spirits this morning, that we have got to understand the importance of standing for what is right, of standing up for what we believe is right and for what we know is right. Amen. And the Lord has been laying this so heavily on my heart. The reality of the situation that we're in is that we're living in the last days. We are truly living in the last days. Amen. And God is getting his church ready. And with all of the deliverance that's been happening in this church and all of the amazing things that are happening within our church, God is getting this church ready. Hallelujah. And there are people still out there in the flood of evil that want something different. Amen. They want something new. They want a change in their lives. Amen. And that is why it's so crucial that we get things like holiness and modesty into our spirits, because God is raising us up to be the standard against the evil. Amen. In this world. And when people want something different, they have got to know where to turn to. They have to know who to ask, and they have to be able to see the light of holiness and the anointing of God on our lives and God's love in us. Amen. It's not a joke. It's serious. The things that we've been taught, some of us our whole lives or for however long you've been going to church. Amen. It's time for us. It's for a reason. That's how I knew where to turn when I came back to God. My apostolic upbringing. I used to be a Simon. My whole life I just went with the flow wherever people went, whatever people did, that's what I did. I didn't know how to stand alone or stand on my own. I was a follower. Whoever I hung around with, I followed. Whatever people did, that's what I did. When everybody backslid all around me, that's what I did. I backslid. And I never consecrated myself. I never took the preacher seriously when he was preaching the Word of God, and I never took time in prayer seriously or read the Word of God like all my friends did. I never consecrated myself, and so I ended up drifting just like a reed. And so I look at the world, and I look at people, and I think of the Scripture, 1 Corinthians 6:11, and it says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God." I was just like them, and some of you in this place this morning, such were some of you also. And somebody took the time for you. They invested in you. They prayed for you. They wept for you. If we can put this our will into the hands of God this morning and realize that there's something way more important at stake here than our own will. There's something way more important at stake here than our own desires and than our own plans, and that it's not just all a waste. If we can't see people the way Jesus does, if we can't love people the way he loves, then why are we here? In the Bible, hallelujah, in the Bible, we look and we see that Jesus Christ meets Simon, and he takes him out on the water, and he teaches him a few lessons, and he shows him some things, and he invests in him, and he spends some time in him. And what do we read in the Bible is that Simon gets a new identity. Matthew 16:18, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Peter means Petra, which is a rock. something strong, something solid. A rock is not easily swayed, amen. Just a rock is not, it cannot be easily blowed to and fro, amen. It can withstand the winds of the world. When God changes your name, he doesn't just change your name, he changes your identity, amen. And so Simon the Reed becomes Peter the Rock, and such were some of us. Hallelujah. I remember when he changed my name. I remember when he gave me a new position and a new status. I used to be Carl the follower, Carl the reed, and now I'm Carl a youth leader, Carl a preacher, Carl whatever else God has in store for me, because I've committed to doing whatever the will of God is in my life, because I've purposed in my heart that I don't want to just go with the flow anymore. I understand the importance of my ministry. I understand the importance for standing for the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just thank the Lord for his word, God. We thank you, Lord, for your word, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And one of the things that we know about Peter is that he struggled with the will of God. Jesus names him Peter, and a short time later, we find in a scripture that he's calling him Simon again. He said, Simon, Simon, a term of endearment. He said, Martha, Martha. He said, Mary, Mary. You're just not getting it. It's just not sinking in. He calls him Simon, Simon. He wasn't getting it. There was a great purpose for him, and he had a great calling, but he just couldn't let go of Simon. He just kept wanting to pick back up the Simon nature. He couldn't seem to submit to the will of God in his life. A long time ago, I was talking to Brother Kevin Brown, and I thank the Lord that he's in the house this morning. Praise God for Kevin Brown. And I was talking to him about the coloring book phase of church. I wonder if he remembers this conversation. He does. And he was telling me about when his girls were younger and they used to color in coloring books during church because they were immature and younger still. But when it came time for them to grow up and start paying attention and learning the word of God, they put the coloring books away. They tucked them away. Listen, guys, we're long past the coloring book phase, but sometimes it seems like we still aren't paying attention. Pastor Roy has preached several times about how we have been to this place in the Spirit before, that we've been here before, we've built up steam, we've built up momentum, we've gotten there, but then we fade back a little bit. Then we build up steam and we build up momentum and then we fade back a little bit. We've come together as a church this time. We've prayed and fasted together this time. There's been deliverances. There's been breakthroughs. And we have transitioned into a new level spiritually. I believe that. Hallelujah. How many of you believe that we have entered into a new level? Hallelujah. We have transitioned to a new level spiritually where God is doing things that we could never possibly imagine in our own lives and in the lives of our friends, and where God is doing great things, and our pastor has begun to focus on spiritual authority. God has taught me anything over the last month or the last 21 days of fasting, it's that you cannot have spiritual authority unless you submit to spiritual authority. You cannot have spiritual authority unless you are fully submitted to spiritual authority. Amen. My wife and I walked up to Pastor Roy a week or so ago, and we told him, we looked at him and we told him, hey, we know you probably already assumed this. We're the youth pastors, but we just want to vocalize this to you and let you know that we submit ourselves to your authority. We are for you. We are behind you 100% of the way. Hallelujah. We had to make it clear that we submitted to his leadership and that it was a God-ordained role that he stepped into. All my life growing up, it was pretty common, and it still is common sometimes today, where you get together with a group of people and they get to talking about the sermon was good or whatever, but the particular stance the pastor had on, I just don't agree with that. It was good, but I just don't agree with that. Amen. And I was with him on some things, but I don't know if I agree with all of that. Amen. I've never heard Bishop Grant preach a message or that was out of the will of God or out of line with sound doctrine or out of line with the truth. Amen. And when he passed the mantle of authority in this church to Pastor Roy, I have never heard Pastor Roy preach with anything but passion, preach with anything but what... a desire and a hunger to stay true to sound doctrine and stick true to the Word of God. And I just got to go there this morning, and I don't want to step on any toes, but I'd suggest that if you don't agree with something that the man of God says, or you don't have a conviction with something that the man of God preaches about, perhaps it doesn't mean that it's not wrong, but just that you haven't committed enough time in prayer to finding out why it is you don't have the conviction. Lord, open my heart and let me know what's inside of me, or what I've allowed into my life or into my home that's not supposed to be there, so that I could be submitted to the Word of God and to the will of God and the man of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no reason why we should be struggling to maintain holiness. If you're fully submitted and you're fully committed to a relationship with God, modesty will never be an issue. It will be a desire. Hallelujah. It's more than just living the standards. It's loving the standards. It's having a desire to please God. That modesty and holiness wasn't meant so that when people look at us, they don't see us, they see God in us. I don't know how many of you remember, Bishop Grant preached that at a camp meeting a few years back. He taught on the subject of modesty and holiness. And it's modesty and holiness is so that when people look at us, they see God. It's not so that they see us, see our lives. They see Jesus in us. Amen. That they see that God is righteous and God is holy and God is pure. The world is a messed up place, and when people are walking around and they look left and they see hopelessness, and they look right and they see emptiness, and they're tired of the same old mess and the same old quick fixes to their problems, and they want something meaningful and something that they can grab onto that will actually change them. They know where to turn to. They know where to look. Amen. That we've been set as a city on a hill, shining in the darkness, amen. Because let me tell you something, holiness and modesty aren't just standards, but they're requirements to be the standard, church. We have to take a stand. Hallelujah. We have to understand and have a passion for this apostolic message. We have to cherish it. I love my wife very much, to the point of cherishing her. And I'll always sneak something like that into every message, I guess, so I get brownie points about how I love my wife. Praise God. But I love my wife to the point where I cherish her. And I could tell you that there's two things in this world that will never, my wife will never be able to take the place of them. And one is God, and the next one is this apostolic message. I love this apostolic message. Why? Because it changed who I was. Because it brought me from a place where I was in darkness and I was in the bondage of sin. And it gave me hope. And it gave me a freedom. And it gave me salvation. And so I cherish it. And to cherish means to hold on to feel love for, and to cling fondly to. And so I cling to this message. I cling to this apostolic doctrine. Because it's a life-changing, soul-saving message. Hallelujah. I love every bit of it. I'm not going to cut any corners on the rest of it. I want to live the rest of my life loving every teaching, learning every teaching. I want to live every standard, practice every principle, have it in my heart. Why? Because the Bible's not just a list of do's and don'ts. If you're flipping through the Bible and you're just finding a thou shalt not this and a thou shalt not that, then it's not serving the purpose that it should in your life. You have to look through the pages and love the words that are on the pages. They have to come to life for you. They have to mean something more than a rule book for you. Hallelujah. That these are the words of our Savior. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We need to seriously reevaluate the things that we listen to and the things that we watch. The things that we allow into our homes, the conversations that we allow ourselves to be a part of, and the things that we allow into our lives. God's been seriously dealing with me personally on my own life, and the things that can find their way and creep their way into somebody's life, that we can never be desensitized to those things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to look at our habits. We need to look at ourselves and reevaluate, because I want to be ready when Jesus comes. And not only do I just want to be ready, I want to make sure that I'm doing everything that God has called me to do, everything that He has created me to fill a purpose. And I want to be filling that purpose, hallelujah, for as much as I can. Amen. And so we need to ask ourselves, we need to reevaluate our lives, and we need to ask ourselves, are we truly submitted to the Word of God? Are we truly submitted to the Word of God? Am I truly submitted to the pastoral staff and to the leadership? Am I truly submitted to my pastor where I can go forward and say, Pastor, everything you preached this morning, it was right to me. It was right in the Word of God. I'm going to practice every word. I'm going to apply it to my life so that I can be a better Christian, so that I can live a greater anointed ministry in my life. Amen. Have we taken a stand? Or where have we gone with the flow? If all of our elders passed away this morning, are we ready to be the leaders? Can we be trusted with this gospel? Hallelujah. I feel in the Holy Ghost that God's ready to do something amazing this morning. And if I could have the keyboard player and the singer come this morning, and if all my elders that are helping me this morning could come forward. Hallelujah. Let's just lift up the Lord God. I magnify your name, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word, God. We thank you for this apostolic message, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would open my heart and open my mind, God. Lord, that have I allowed anything into my life, God, that's hindering my ministry, that's hindering my consecration and my commitment and my dedication, God. Lord, reveal those things to me, God, so that I can get rid of them, God, and I can move forward with a deeper level and a deeper relationship with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When we come to church, we say things to God in the moment. We sing songs during worship to God that sometimes we're going through the motions or we're just singing the words. But we need to realize that every single thing that we do in this church, God takes very seriously. God doesn't play church, although sometimes we do. Hallelujah. That God expects us to take everything that we do here very seriously. Hallelujah. Because we need to get serious, amen, that the place that we're in right now, this sanctuary, this is not a comfort zone, hallelujah, this is a training ground, this is a connecting point, hallelujah, amen, that there are people under the sound of my voice right now that you know that God has called you, possibly to the mission field, but you're running from the will of God, possibly God has called you to be an evangelist, but you're too afraid to step into that role, that God has called some pastors and some preachers and teachers, that we're not all going to stay at Calvary Gospel Church for the rest of our lives. Some of us are going to move on to different things. God is preparing and raising up some young ministers in this place right now that you might go and take over a church somewhere, and we have to be ready, and we have to be consecrated, amen. Hallelujah. We need to understand how important it is that the coloring book phase is long since over. Hallelujah. That when the enemy comes in like a flood, we have to stay apostolic. Hallelujah. If we could all stand this morning, that it's not just though that we can be saved, but we have to preach to the next generation. We have to be responsible for carrying this apostolic messages. There are several places in the Bible where it talks about the passing of the mantle. Hallelujah. The mantle is a thin cloak or a covering. In the Bible, what the mantle represents is an anointing or a ministry. The mantle represents the ministry of the one wearing the mantle. And when the mantle is passed on, it's a symbolic transfer of anointing. That power, that the one who puts on the mantle is saying that he steps into that ministry and that he's going to wear the mantle and he's going to go forward and take on the ministry that his elder had before him. When Pastor Demas and his wife stepped into the role of student pastor, a mantle was passed from Roy and Lois down to Sister Phil and Fiona. When Bishop and Sister Grant stepped down from the lead pastors at Calvary Gospel Church, and when Sister Lois and Pastor Roy stepped in, a mantle of authority and a mantle of anointing was passed on. And when Cecily and I stepped into a role as youth leaders, a mantle of anointing and authority was passed down from Phil and Fiona to us. And we made a commitment to God and a dedication to God and to the youth and to this church that we were going to preach the doctrine that they preached. That we were going to lead in the direction that they led. That we were going to teach the Word of God the same that they taught in fullness and truth. Hallelujah. And this morning there's a different kind of mantle. It's a generational mantle. Hallelujah. It's a mantle that represents a ministry that was picked up way back on the day of Pentecost. And it's been passed on from generation to generation and generation. And now the mantle rests upon our elders. Hallelujah. And we need to let this sink in and we need to realize realize this morning that the next generation, the mantle is going to be transferred, is to us. We have to pick up this apostolic message, this doctrine, and get it into our spirits so deep that there's going to come a time when all of our elders are passed away from this earth, and it's our responsibility. When the Brother Forkpaws and the Bishop Putnams are gone from this world, when our own Bishop Grant breathes his last breath and the Lord calls him home, who is willing to take up the mantle? Hallelujah. I feel the Spirit of the Lord in this place. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. Right now is a time of submission. It's a time of deep consecration, that these elders here today don't only represent themselves, but they represent all of our elders. They represent the elders before them, and the cloths that they have in their hands represent the generational mantle of apostolic ministry. Hallelujah. And as we open these altars this morning, I want to challenge everybody. You got to find a spot to pray. Find a spot to pray. If you know that you're ready, then come forward. But we got to let these elders pray for us. Pray for an anointing upon our lives. Take this mantle and run with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody once asked me what this button on my lapel meant. Because it's kind of odd. It's a dove. But I wore this when we buried my grandpa Manly. And I wear it every time I preach, not because I'm, superstitious or anything like that, because when I look down, this reminds me of my grandfather, that he lived a life of consecration, a life of a servant, all the way up until the day that he died. And I agreed that I want to pick up a mantle of servitude, that I want to serve the people in this community, that I want to serve the people in this church. And I look down and I remember the ministry of my grandfather, and I tell him it's not in vain. And our leaders tonight and our elders, that it's not been in vain, that we're going to run with the apostolic doctrine that we've been taught. And this morning I have my grandmother's Bible that she gave me, that it was hers, Irv and Eileen Manley's Bible. And I promise my grandma, who's here before me, that I'm not going to change the message I preach, the message that I was taught growing up. I'm not going to water it down. I'm not going to add anything to it or take anything away from it, but I'm going to preach the fullness of it in truth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.